Amen. In the last few Sundays, we've been talking about miracles and things like that. We've been talking about giving, and we've got the box over there to put some lunch so we can build the event center. We can't borrow any more money for the event center. So we have to do it from our pockets. We can't borrow any more money. So we have to do it in five chunks of 57,000 each. We did a thing of two Sundays ago, and we got 6,000. That's great, but I think we can do better than that. What do you think? We need a 51. So if you're 51 years old, you want to put $1,000 in for every year that you lived, that will be very, very good, and we'll build the first stage of the... Hello, hallelujah. But I think we can do far better than that, all right? The Christ that died for us gave everything, and so that you and I can live and have all sufficiency to have everything, so that everything that is needed can be given, so that the service of God can go on. Praise the Lord. But somebody said to me, a lot of people come to the church and they have no idea why you're doing that. And many of you would have known that last night it rained like cats and dogs. And earlier on in the 2000, late 1990s, we had a vision. The vision of our church is to build, to bond, and to bless. When you unpack that, it's building on Christ. Everything we do, we want to build on the foundation that Jesus Christ is the foundation of our lives. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. It's not that we are not laboring, but we labor in vain unless God is doing the building. And we speak of that, and that's part of our vision. And I can stand here for the next 6 months and talk to you on building. But I won't, because I've only got a few minutes. And then bonding. How do you bond? We bond in the love of Jesus Christ. You can connect through food and all other things. When you eat a meal with somebody you don't know that actually you are covenanting with somebody that you eat with. You sit down at the table, and the Bible says, the one that ate with me, went to the house of God with me, has lifted up his heel against me. So eating is covenanting. Covenant of salt, where you say, pass the salt. Hallelujah. You may not like salt, but the salt is still on the table, because you never know when somebody says, pass the salt. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We bond, we fellowship. We bond in eating together. We bond because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We bond because there is love that binds us together. Hallelujah. And I can talk to you on bonding. But that's enough. Is that okay? Hallelujah. You get to heaven not because you know something. You get to heaven because you have a relationship with somebody. You know somebody. Getting to heaven is not because you're knowledgeable about the gospel. Getting to heaven is, it comes because you bonded with God. There's a relationship. There's a fellowship with God. And the third point of our vision is blessing. To be a blessing. God blessed Abraham. And through Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You and I are blessed with the same blessing that Abraham had. And you are not just blessed as a child of Abraham to just nice and to receive the blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. The blessing of Abraham was not just something. The blessing of Abraham was somebody. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. The blessing of Abraham is God. And God is shared among our hearts. So we build, we bond, and we bless. You did not know that in the past few Sundays we've been talking on that, even though we haven't given it any titles. Our mission as a church is to connect to people, to connect to strangers, to connect to each other, to connect to God, to commit, committing one to the other. Amen. Connect with our community and committing to our community and continuing to do so. Sometimes, as Yonggi Cho says, sometimes prayer is actually quite boring. And sometimes you have to continuously do it. And sometimes in building, bonding, and blessing, connecting, and committing, you need to continue to do the same things over and over and over and over and over and over again. How many had a shower last week? How many had a shower yesterday? How many had a shower this morning? How many going to have a shower tomorrow? Some things you have to keep on doing, continuing, and we need to continue to connect, to commit to people, building, bonding, and blessing. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Let me get some lunch first. Our church is built on 8 values. Now you may say, well, that's just 8 values. If we can preach on building for a whole year, hello? My first 2 years in Whanganui, I preached one sermon. I just preached on Joshua. One sermon, 2 years. My next sermon took 4 years to preach, and it's still not finished. I preached from Malachi. But the church is built on 8 values, and the values are worship, mission, prophetic, Bible-based truth, leadership, fellowship, giving, and healing. So those are the pillars and the truth upon which our church is built. And it says you build on, one of the values is worship. We can speak on worship until Jesus returns. Why? Because we're supposed to worship Him. God looks for worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Every human being worships. The saved worship, the unsaved worship, the heathen worships, the not so heathen worships, and the Christian worship. Everybody worships because God created you and I to worship. Before the gospel came to Samoa, they were already worshiping. It doesn't matter where you go. People worship. It's not whether they worship, because everybody does. It's who they worship or what they worship. Some people worship money. Jesus said you can only serve 2 gods. You either serve God the Father or serve Mammon. And you know, a lot of this is not. I'm just explaining something. All right. A lot of people say, well, the Maoris are heathens, because when you go to a marae, you got all these carvings and all these rituals. Let me say there's something to you, and you probably never thought of it. If you go to a marae and you talk about God, what would the Maoris do? They will have a karakia. If you go to a conference that is hosted by a white businessman with all white people and talk about God. Huh? Now, who's heathen? You may never have thought about that. Are you all right? I just thought I'd throw that at you. But worship, everybody worships. The man that went to school worshiped, the man that didn't go to school worshiped. Everybody, it's what you worship. That's the thing. What do you worship? So worship is part of our values, mission. Not just mission overseas, but mission across the road. We speak on the prophetic part of our values. And we try as much as we can to accommodate that. That's why every now and again we have a prophetic people come. We need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You will never be perfected by the ministry of a pastor alone. The fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, so the saints can do the ministry. People said, well, the pastor is paid to do that. You can't pay me to be a pastor. The reason I pastor is because I'm called. I've never been paid a proper salary. Why? Because we haven't got enough income to give all the pastoral staff a proper salary. So none of the pastors in our church are paid an award wage. Pastor Andrew's underpaid. Ben's underpaid. My wife has is not paid. She does a lot of work around here. I'm underpaid. The whole staff is not paid an award wage. None of them is. Why do they work? Because they're called. Are you okay? I've been trying to get a couple of our church to go for a holiday on the church expense. They said, I'll not go on a holiday until Ben's paid properly. Ben is paid. My wife's not paid. I pay her from my wages. So they'll never go on a holiday. Why? Because none of us is paid properly. Hello? So when I ask you to go on a holiday on the church expense, go. Why? Because if you wait for a proper wage, you'll never get it. Hallelujah. Are you all right? We live by faith around here. We don't just preach faith. One of my girls who's now teaches English in Kazakhstan, she said, Dad, can you help me with my money? I said, tell me how much you make in a fortnight. She was a teacher, a high school teacher. When she told me what she makes a fortnight, I calculated that. I said, you make more money in 1 year than your mother and I will make in 2.5. She cried. Hello? I'm just... are you okay? Hallelujah. We're talking about our church. We speak on Bible-based truth. That's part of the pillars of our church. We speak on leadership. Our church is governed, is leadership-led. Now, that's not the only model you govern a church. You have a congregational model. You have a deacon board model. You have an eldership model. Our church is governed by a leadership model. It's led. Are you okay? We build on fellowship. That's why we do a whole lot of things that we do. Part of the cup of tea at the end of the service is not just to have a nice cup of tea, it's to fellowship. Part of the small group thing that goes on in the church is to fellowship. Help you and I to connect. You can't connect the church on Sunday meetings. And if you don't find any point of connection, tell somebody, hoi, I'm coming to your house for lunch. And you say, what? You've not been invited. I said, I just invited myself. Where do you get that from? From the Lord of the church. He said to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for lunch today. Now, I haven't done that for a long time, but I used to do that when we first came here. I was just preaching and said, I'm going to your house for lunch. I remember a couple had a fight because I said from the pulpit, we are coming to your house for lunch. And he said to his wife, when they got home, his wife said, I'm going to get some food. I said, what for? The pastor's coming for lunch. He said, he's not coming. Yeah, he said he's coming. He said, no, he's not. He was just saying that. He said, he's coming for lunch. When did he say he's doing something and not do it? If he said he's coming for lunch, he's coming for lunch. And he said, well, he's not coming. I'm sure he's not. And then we turned up. They had a fight. His wife said, I told you he's coming. Now, I haven't done that for a long time, but I'll invite myself to your house for lunch one of these days. Amen. And you better be ready to host me. You may never get an invite back, but if you do get an invite back, just take it. Fellowship. Hallelujah. Then giving and healing. I just thought I'll show that, throw that at you, because last night it rained quite heavily, and I wish I'd rained this morning. Because part of the reason why we built that is because the children of the school, which belong to the church, when it rains like that, they have nowhere to go. So they sit in their classroom the whole day because they can't get out and run around, and they can't get out to a shelter where they can have their lunch. So they have their lectures in the classroom, and they have their lunches in the classroom. And when it rains, they congregate outside my wife's office in a little corridor over there waiting for their parents, and it's cold in the winter. And every time they want to go to the gym, a bus comes along and busts them to the gym and busts them back. It's a whole lot of work and not always very safe. And part of the reason why we built that is for the children. Hallelujah. Now, I may go on home and I'm not going to use the thing. It's for the children. But I'll pay for it. Because we want to hand the children, to bless another generation, we want to hand the children something. Hallelujah. We were casting that vision to build and bond and bless. And somebody came from Australia, totally ignorant of what we were doing. And this is what he said. The Lord is telling me to tell you to buy land and build buildings. Now, we built buildings. We bought a little piece of land in the back. Guess what? It used to belong to us. We just bought it back. Now let me say this. The best business on the planet is real estate. Now don't think real estate down here, but think biblically. The only thing God gave to Abraham physically was a piece of real estate. The problem of the world today is in the Middle East, and it is a piece of real estate. I'm just thinking biblically now. Now don't, try and understand what I'm saying. If God blessed Abraham to bless the planet, he did, anointing and everything, but the only physical thing he gave him was a piece of real estate. If you have a piece of real estate, keep it. Stop renting. Why? Because most of the church pays rent to the heathens. It's about time the children of the devil stop raping the planet. And then they're trying to do all global warming and all these things. Why? Because they keep on raping the planet, and the church keeps on, yeah, can we borrow some money? Can we buy some land? The earth is the Lord's. Are you okay? All right. I just thought I'd share that with you because some of you are ignorant of why are we building that thing. Now, if our vision is build, bond, and bless, the Bible says first the natural, then the spiritual. We were in another country doing a conference, a leadership conference, and the pastor gets up and everybody that gets up and they said, we're not here to build buildings, we're here to build people. I said to the pastor, stop that language. He said, why? Because I said, you're borrowing buildings right now. You're spending a whole heap of money on the buildings that you're renting. You cart the equipment for the conference from place to place and you put them in garages and stuff, and then you hire trucks and suburban vans and to carry the stuff there, and when it's finished you dismantle the stuff, and in the middle of the night you cart them home and then store them again to be done the following week again, sometimes twice a week, three times a week. I said to him, do you need a building? You know what he said? Do we what? I said, then stop saying you don't need buildings. Because first the natural, then the spiritual. Any of you live outside? I'm just saying, any of you live outside? Well, you live in a building, do you? Huh? Why? First the natural, then the spiritual. I said to him, as long as you speak like that, we don't need buildings. By the time you come to build a building, nobody will agree with you. You know what the prophet said? You live in your nice houses. And I live, he said, tell the people to go to the hills, cut down trees, and come back and build me a building. You know what Solomon built? It was a building. You know what Moses built? It was a building. Huh? You know what you live in? It's a building. So don't get super spiritual. Be real. Where do you live? Heaven or earth? Earth. Where are you going to live for the rest of your days? Earth. That's why your body stays on earth. And your spirit goes to heaven when you die. And when Jesus returns, he brings his spirit, your spirit, and he resurrects you. Hallelujah. Hello? You go to heaven for the judgment seat of Christ, have a meal, then come back down here and live here. Why? Because this is where it's supposed to be. And you'll be here forever. You say, where do you get that from? From the Bible? God's going to renovate the earth. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And you're going to live on earth where you are now. So stop trying to be ethereal, super spiritual, way up there with the fairies. Be real. We worship God in spirit and reality. Real. Hallelujah. Are you okay? You should have preached a message. He said, well, he did not know, but in the last three months, we've been vision casting. And this is just part of it. You thought I was just preaching on miracles. I was preaching on miracles because of our vision. Built, bond, bless. Are you all right? And we'll never stop building. We'll never stop building. And we'll never stop speaking on miracles. We've got churches in Russia. And Sergei built a building. It was amazing. Because he said, you know, we're going to bought some land. Now, unless you've been to Russia and understand what that young man had done, you will never know the miracle that had happened in his life. All because I spoke with him and gave him four things. Then he said, well, we're going to... So they built. We never gave a cent to that building. But he built a building. Beautiful, dedicated. 2 weeks later, torched to the ground. There was nothing left. An arsonist torched it. And he wrote and said, oh, somebody torched the thing to the ground. And I thought, God. So because there was no building, he thought, well, I'm going to have a crusade. So he had a crusade in Ulan-Ude for about a week. And 1,000 people got saved. And then he thought, what am I going to do with these people? So he thought, I'll have a Bible school so that I can train them and disciple them. So he had a Bible school. Only problem, there was no desks and chairs. So he asked us for some desks and chairs. I said, we'll do it. And now he's beginning to rebuild the new building. And didn't have a house. Now he's built a house. Hallelujah. But we've helped him way out on the other side of the world to build something physical. So we've got some chairs, some tables, and the people came and think we contributed with a couple of cars and things like that. But that's what we do. It's not first the natural, then you know, the Bible says if a brother comes to you and is hungry and says, well, go home, God bless you. What is that? You have to give him some physical food and physical clothes. What are you talking about? What's that? Oh, we did the ceiling and the furnace and the ceiling. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Now, this is my sermon, and I've got 5 minutes. This is my sermon now. Okay. What I said before was just part of the mechanics of our church, but this is now this morning's sermon. It's not new, but this is my sermon. All right. Churches are built, there are four kinds of churches. It doesn't matter where you go, there are only four kinds of churches. And they are built on those four things. A church can be built on the sacraments. So the sacraments become the major focus of the church. And regardless of what happens, the whole church, it can be a whole denomination, it can be a worldwide denomination, but it's only built on the sacraments. The baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, penance, anointing with oil of those that are sick, but the whole thing, so the particular days like the Easter month, these are things, and the church will major on those things and are built, and it can be great, but it's only built on the sacraments. Are you all right? The other kind of church is built on altars. It doesn't matter what happened, the preaching goes out, and the main focus of the church is to get people to commit. Get people to the altar. Get people to give their lives to the Lord. And the whole ministry of the church, its preaching, its teaching, and everything has to do with drawing people to sacrifice, drawing people to the altar. And you've got churches, you've got denominations, you've got buildings and churches and things like that all over the world. And the main focus of the church is the altar ministry, the altar call. You can't go without an altar call. And there's always calling the saints and the sinners constantly to the altar. So you got a church built on sacraments. You got a church built on altars. Then you have a church built on music, on worship. The way that they worship and things like that. And some churches, that's all they do. They worship. And it's not wrong. It's fantastic. Their songs are sung all over the world. But it has to do with the worship of God, the worship of Jehovah, the worship of His Son, the worship of the Holy Ghost. And the whole thing is vibrating with music, with worship, and things that are uplifted to God. Hallelujah. Are you all right? The fourth one is a church that's built on the Word. It doesn't matter what happened. They build on the Word of the Lord. It becomes the bedrock of what the church does. Everything they do, it's built on ministry of the Word, teaching of the Word, the preaching of the Word, and the dividing of the Word so that the saints can hear and understand. You build on sacraments, on altars, on worship, or on the Word. That's how it does. Now, let me say this. Paul said, I plant, Apollos waters, but God alone brings the growth. So I tell people, how come we idolize huge churches and the men and women, and it's not wrong to have a big church, but we idolize them as though they brought the growth. Only God, God alone brings the growth, and God alone must receive the glory for the growth. Because we can't make it grow. Amen. If it's growing, it's God's grace, and to Him must be the praise. We try as much as we can as a church to use all four models: worship, altars, sacraments, and the Word to build our church. It's exactly 10 o'clock. Have a cup of tea.